So we read about the appearance of Jesus after he was crucified on the cross. We know, as reading the biblical text, that the women went to the tomb the next day after Jesus was crucified, or a couple days after Jesus was crucified, and that the tomb was empty, and that Jesus was not there, and they ran back to tell the other disciples that Jesus met those on the road to Emmaus that same day, and appeared to many others after his death and after his resurrection. We sing the hymn, the popular hymn at Easter time, "He Lives. I Serve a Risen Savior. He's in the world today." The chorus is, "He lives, He lives. I know He lives within my heart." But to many people in this world, they don't know that He lives because they don't seem to be able to see that He is alive or feel that He's alive. And the debate goes on as to whether Jesus was even real, whether he rose, was resurrected, and rose from the grave. But yet, his disciples saw him. We have the biblical text to tell us that he did. And I want to talk about that a little bit today, about this situation. As we see that the disciples were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, Jesus appears to them. And in his post-resurrection appearances, we see the many different times and the many different ways that Jesus appeared and appears now today to people. First of all, he appeared to them when they were behind locked doors. They were in fear of the Jews. They were afraid. He appeared to them a week later when Thomas was with them and Thomas doubted. When they doubted, he appeared. He appeared to them afterwards when they were by the Sea of Tiberias. He appeared to them in the morning when they were there coming in from fishing. In Luke, it tells us about his appearance on that resurrection day when the two were walking along the road to Emmaus, and he came up to them and appeared among them and said, "Why are you so downcast?" So he appeared to them when they were downcast. He appeared to Mary and the women at the tomb when they were afraid and confused and when they were crying. We start to see a little bit of the characteristic of a risen Savior, a risen Jesus Christ, and the times that he appears in the lives of people when definitely they're afraid, when they're troubled, when they're doubting that he even lives or can even help them. He appears to them in many, many different places. Luke implies that they were still in Jerusalem behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Here in the 21st chapter of John, it tells us that they were up in Galilee now by the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee, and they decided to go fishing. Jesus again appears to them. So we see he appears where they met together. He appears when they were working. He appeared to women. He appeared to men. There seems to be no barrier of place nor time where Jesus appears. Nothing to stop him or confine him from appearing. It tells us in the text that he appeared three times by now to his disciples in John's Gospel. But let's look at how he appeared to them. When he came to them behind locked doors, he said, "Peace be with you." In verse 20, it tells us, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed. In chapter 21, it tells us again that he came to them and he said, "Let down your nets. Let down your nets." Well, the disciples would have immediately remembered back to being by the Sea of Galilee before, when they sat down in the boat and Jesus said, "Let down your nets on the other side." And they said, "Well, we haven't caught anything. We've been fishing all night." He said, "Let's go out here, put your nets down out here." And they did, and they caught so many fish. He says to them each time, "Peace be with you." Through his word, he reveals his living presence into their lives. He doesn't do anything miraculous. He stirs their minds with his word as he reveals himself through his word. And we say, why? You know, Jesus didn't have to appear. He didn't have to appear to anybody after his resurrection. He didn't have to reveal himself. He could have just died for our sins and gone on to glory. But you see, he didn't want that. That's the kind of man that Jesus is. He didn't want that. He didn't want us to be alone. He wanted us to know for sure that He was alive, just like He had said. He said He would rise, that He said He would not leave His followers orphaned. If you know Jesus, you know Jesus is the promise keeper. And He told His disciples He would do this. He said, I'm going away for a little while. In a little while, you'll see Me. He promised He would be back. And in John chapter 14, Jesus says to them, because I live, you also will live. He goes on to say in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, on that day you'll realize that I'm in My Father, you're in Me, and I'm in you. You'll realize that I'm in you when you see Me again, when I come back. Not only does He live, He shows up when needed in a crisis. In every place that He's needed, He shows up. He, the risen Christ, is an ever-present help in times of trouble. He's a rock of ages that we can cling to in the storms of life. He's peace between God and me, and that He brings a truce between Almighty God and God's wrath on my life because I'm a sinner. He's a wonderful counselor who can guide and correct me and discipline me. He's a Prince of Peace. He's the Mighty God. He's Emmanuel, God with us day in and day out. He's the Lamb that was slain. He's the enmity between Satan and I. He's the rider on the white horse coming in victory. He's the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the root of the offspring of David. He's the bright morning star. He's alive and He reveals Himself to us every single day. And when we think of all these ways and many more that God's Word describes Jesus Christ to us, knowing that He's alive and knowing the power and the peace that we can have in our lives every single day because He lives in our hearts, has to be comforting to you and I. For those who say He never reveals Himself, He never appears in our midst, I want to tell you something. Tell that to Eleanor. Tell that to Mary. Tell that to Chris's friend. He appears in our lives when we need Him most, wherever we are. There's no barrier. There's nothing that can keep Him away. He appears constantly in our lives. He reveals Himself especially to us in His Word, as He did to the two on the road to Emmaus. They were there, they were downcast, and He said, why are you so downcast? And they said, well, don't you know? We thought this guy was going to be the Messiah, but instead He's dead. They crucified Him. And He said, and Jesus revealed Himself to them in all the Scriptures, which were only the Old Testament at that time, the Psalms, the Prophets, and the Law. He revealed Himself to them in His Word. In the times of my life when I have struggled the most and needed Him nearest the most, the first place I've learned to go is right here, because right here tells me He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. I can look in here, just like the disciples who would have heard Him say, peace be with you, the same man who just a few nights before in the upper room said, my peace I give to you, I give to you not as the world gives to you, now heard Him say, a post-resurrected Christ, peace be with you. And when He told them to cast the nets over the side of the boat and they hauled in all the fish, there was the man that had been living among them in the past few days. And you see what Jesus does when we read His Word. We start to see, well, that's just like me. I doubted, but He showed me He was real. I doubted God's own calling in my own life at one point. And I remember a day especially when I stood with one of my customers, an elderly lady in Hughesville, after I had got done working with her, and we were talking about my calling into ministry. She was overjoyed that I had followed God's call in my life. And as I stood there, I said to her, I said, the thing that bothers me most, that I don't understand most, is that I have to leave my family of customers, because I had gotten so close to so many of them, my regular customers. And I couldn't understand why God would be drawing me away from them. And I said, I that's the hard part for me, is leaving my family of customers. And you know what she said to me? She said to me "This lady, whom I had gone to church with since I was born, said to me, 'But do you remember, Jesus told the disciples to lay down their nets, to give up their business, to give up everything in their life and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.' I heard the voice of Jesus standing in her driveway that day, speaking to me, saying, 'You have to lay down your life and follow me.' I can't tell you the number of instances things like this have happened when you hear the voice of Jesus Christ in your life. One time I was completely terrified when I began preaching, sitting in the up in the choir loft of the church I was going to be preaching in. I was terrified and extremely nervous, and my prayer just was, "Just be with me, just be with me, just be with me," over and over again. And I heard a voice to the extent I turned around to look to see who it was, of a voice saying to me, "I am with you. I am with you. I am." Does that ring a bell? I am. I am. Jesus' words. Time and time again, we go back to His Word and we see the One that's speaking to us right now through people, through messages, in all ways in our lives. It's the same Jesus now that it was back then. He speaks to us through other people. He speaks to us audibly. He speaks to us through answered prayer. He opens our eyes and gives us a different perspective on life. Have you ever prayed that when you get in a position where you think life is caving in on you, maybe you're extremely sick, maybe there's a gigantic financial burden on your life, something's going on in your life, maybe in your marriage, in your home, with your kids. Have you ever just said, "Give me the proper perspective to understand what's going on, why it's going on, and to stand firm in my faith in you"? And He'll do it. He'll open our eyes, He'll show us the way, and He'll show us that He's in complete control. Somehow, some way, He takes on our burdens and He gives us relief. He gives us relief at home. He gives us relief in school. He gives us relief at work. He gives us relief at McDonald's. He gives us relief at Pizza Hut. He gives us relief at the mall. He gives us relief on the internet. He gives us relief in our cars. He relieves us even in our churches, in our farm fields, in our hunting fields, on the soccer fields, on the volleyball court, in litigation court, in first grade, in 12th grade. But there's one place that He's not. He's not in the cemetery, because He's not in the grave. He's not the Lord of the dead, He's the Lord of the living. Now, that tells me that the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, is alive with me everywhere at all times. Whether I'm fishing, whether I'm hunting, whether I'm gathered together with the believers on the first day of the week, whether I'm at this grocery store, whether I'm in my classes in school, with my kids at home, there's no barrier that can keep a risen Christ away. Why? Why? If you remember Jesus' prayer in the 17th chapter of John, when Jesus prays to God, He says, "Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am. I want My followers to be with Me where I am, and to see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You loved Me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You, and they know that You sent Me. I've made You known to them and will continue to make You known in order that the love You have for Me may be in them, and that I Myself may be in them." Jesus Christ, the Messiah, praying to God the Father that God would give us the same glory. And you see, Jesus does this day by day. It's not a prosperity gospel that He's going to fill our bank accounts. It's not a no problem in life gospel. It's not a social gospel. It's a salvation gospel. It's a sanctification gospel, that Jesus died for our sins. He went to the grave. He rose again, not only so that we know with assurance that we can have the same resurrection through Jesus, but we also know that He's alive and present in our lives every single day. You see, He didn't just die. He didn't just die and then go to glory. He died and is with us and lives with us day by day. And nothing can separate us from God's great love in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. Nothing can separate us. And if He's with you day by day, no matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens in your life, you can know with assurance and peace that He's there working through you, with you, and for you. We think about all that's been happening this past week with all the storms. How many of you prayed this last week as they predicted all these fierce storms that God would spare us and keep us safe? And I ask you also, how many of you, after He kept us safe, prayed, "Thank you, God, that you kept us safe"? Well, what about all those people who died? What about all those people whose homes were destroyed? God was in complete control of that too. We don't understand why He allowed it to happen, but praise be to God, He could have wiped out the whole face of the earth if He'd have wanted to. But in His grace, He didn't. Why He allowed some places to be destroyed and others not, we don't know. Maybe it's to bring others down on their knees to God, knowing that God is in control, that God's all-powerful, that He can protect and provide. And it's the good news that He reveals Himself so that we might see the glory of His kingdom day by day by day, and that He would lead us to our eternal home in glory, because we're not walking that path alone. We never take one step alone. Sometimes we're behind Him. Sometimes we try to run a little bit ahead of Him and get in trouble, don't we? He says, "Watch out for that mud hole up there. Watch out for that rock." And we stumble over it. We fall in it every time, don't we? It's only when we get back up and say, "Jesus, clean me off. I've backslidden. I've again become dirty, become like one who's unclean. Cleanse me. Fill me. Guide me on Your way." The disciples, it says, Jesus came to them. This was the third time by the Sea of Tiberias. You know, Jesus had said, "I'm going to rise from the dead and I'm going to be with you." But when He did reveal Himself, they didn't recognize Him. They didn't understand. And day by day, we may not at the time. But I want to tell you folks, keep your eyes open and keep your minds in God's Word. You will see a consistency and a correlation between the Jesus now and the Jesus then, between what He said then, what He did then, and what He says now and does now in our lives. We're just different players in the game is all. And Jesus Christ is in control of the whole thing. And we know that if we allow Him into our lives to move us and use us, then the victory is ours. No matter what situation we're in, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're going through, He is a keeper of promises and a revealer of His power. Let's pray. Father, what a great day to be together, an exciting time such as the times we live in. We pray for Your church. As we come on the Lord's Day together to the Lord's table, I pray especially that You help us to feel Your presence and see Your presence among us this morning as we see Your body and taste Your blood. May we know with assurance that You did die for our sins, but may we also know with assurance that You do continue to live in our lives, and You are the rock of our salvation, the good shepherd, the victor, who promises us victory also, in Christ's name. Amen.